This is Twit.
Let's talk about Zoom. No, not Zoom.
No.
We're going to talk about YouTube as a teaching tool. What? Very excited to be joined by Sophie Lucido Johnson, who has written a great article in 1-0, which is Medium's publication. Thank you for joining us, Sophie.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So I was reading through this piece and getting inspired the whole time, sort of and nodding my head along going, yes, preach, yes, because there's so much in here that I think you just really, it's nail head right there. The target is there. So let's talk a little bit about sort of what you have written and what this piece is kind of about. You know, everybody out there is on Zoom, or we just got off of a Zoom call, Jason and I. But you had some insights about why YouTube is a good teaching tool for you. So would you like to talk about that?
Yeah, sure. I am a public school teacher, and I teach journalism. So we've talked a lot about tech in my classroom, and I happen to know that a lot of my kids don't have laptops with, functional cameras that they can use to participate in a Zoom classroom. And then furthermore, a lot of them are watching siblings or needing to take care of parents. And there's just a lot more going on in their lives than there would be during an ordinary school day. And it's hard for them to access Zoom. So that being sort of the main way that we're teaching is sort of a problem with a lot of populations. I know it's not just my kids. So I thought, you know, what's a way that I can teach a lesson that's short and gets across an idea and could be accessed on a smartphone? And I thought, you know, YouTube is a good way to do that. I know the kids are addicted to it, and it's not so hard to learn how to use it. And so I started doing twice a week these video lessons, and the kids will email me, or they'll comment, or they'll sort of engage with the video. They report that they all watch all of them. And I do think there's this like connectivity that springs up there. I've been just trying to think of like different ways to reach kids who might not be able to use Zoom or use Google Hangouts or have, you know, class in a more traditional way.
Yeah. One of the things that you talk about that really for me was kind of just such a good point is the privacy angle, or the sort of desire to keep things personal. You know, I can remember, you know, anytime you've ever gone out as a Ute and seen one of your teachers in public, it is a very awkward sort of, there's something very, it just doesn't make sense. And you kind of go, oh man, you know, I think of you in this teaching capacity, and to see you in public is a little bit different. And so there is a little bit of a separation there. And you kind of talk about that a little bit with using YouTube as opposed to Zoom, where it's a back and forth.
Right. I mean, a lot of kids don't want you to see inside their bedrooms or their kitchens or their houses. And like, that's also not our purview or our jobs as teachers to sort of, you know, be in that space that can feel very personal and private and need to be, you know, kept separate. And so I feel pretty respectful of the sort of need for space and privacy that kids have. And we all have that. I would not want my teachers to see inside my room in high school. I would not have wanted that. I had a lot of weird posters up, no interest. So, I feel like, you know, also by giving them, you know, in the videos, I try to keep them light and include stuff from my life. I'm trying to sort of build a different kind of relationship, because this is sort of an unprecedented. I mean, how many times have we said unprecedented in the last, mm-hmm. you know, 2 months? Just a trillion times. It's a new. We need to figure out ways to connect, and it's scary. I mean, imagine being a kid right now. I think about it every day. Like, they're all kind of experiencing a trauma that's just ongoing and very confusing. And they report feeling scared and confused. So just having something that is consistent and shows care and allows them to not have to give so much. I mean, this is not a time to expect a lot from students. It just isn't. It's a time to like provide a service to them while we get through this period.
Yeah, I think it's really refreshing to hear you say that because I totally and completely agree. You know, I'm a parent. We have two daughters. They're more in grade school right now. But, you know, over the course of the last couple of weeks, the question that my wife and I, you know, keep coming back around to is like, are we doing enough to make sure that they're getting an education that is on par with what they're getting in school? And what I keep, you know, answering for at least for myself, which is we're doing the best that we can. And that is good enough. And if they're engaged in whatever way, like it's hard to compare apples to apples in this scenario, but they're also doing as good as they can, considering how challenging everything is. Question I have for you is, in going the route of putting something up on YouTube instead of a Zoom meeting, like it requires a certain level of technical aptitude in order to put these together. Kids, especially kids, are very familiar with what works on YouTube and what they're looking for. And, you know, the quick, fast edits and maybe music underneath and everything. All that goes out the window when you're doing a Zoom call. It's just like, hey, how's it going? But with a YouTube video, like there's a lot more of a challenge there from a technical perspective. How do you balance that to be sure that you're providing like the appropriate amount of information for them to work off of and not spend all day editing your video?
That's really true. However, it's also so much easier now than it ever has been to do cool things with just the video editing software that comes with your computer or even your phone. You can download like video editing software for $5. That's like way more powerful than anything that existed, you know, 20 years ago, 10 years, even 10 years ago, or even five. It's not so hard to learn. It's pretty user friendly. And I guess I think that, I don't have kids of my own. I have colleagues who do, and I wouldn't expect every teacher to be able to kind of spend time doing this, but I do have the time to do it. And it does mean a lot to the kids, and the kids know how long it takes to make a YouTube video. So mm-hmm. when they see that I've put in a little bit of extra effort and put some music underneath, that just comes with the software. It's not like I'm writing music or anything or like doing the, you know, fast edits. They notice and it means something to them. I only know that because they tell me they're communicative. It's just sort of the little things that you do as a teacher anyway to show kids, you know, you matter to me and you're special and I care about you. We can't do those in the classroom right now. So what are the ways that we can do things like that outside the classroom? Like if we have the capacity to give a little more, is it worth it? I mean, I would say it absolutely is worth it. It's like a gift that you can give. And also, God bless you for teaching your kid at home. It looks really hard and you're doing a good enough job. We do not know how this is all going to pan out. I mean, it's just a whole generation of kids who are going to have one, you know, semester that they didn't go to school. And that's a really weird new challenge. And I'm not sure how we'll rise to it. But in the meantime, yeah, I think taking care of yourself is the most important thing. And if you as a teacher can like give, I think another way to do it might be with like a tiny letter or sort of like a newsletter. Or I also like draw coloring sheets for my kids and they're in high school, so they really like coloring sheets. they're like the novelty is back, you know, anything like
right.
that. Just sort of like any way that you can figure out how to show the kids that you're thinking about them, I think is worth doing right now.
Yeah, you spoke about engagement, sort of you see those comments on your YouTube video and being able to respond to those and know that the students are tuning in. How does that compare to what other teachers are doing that's not within, you know, this YouTube use that's with Zoom, or you mentioned Google Classroom, I think?
Yeah. So I live with another teacher who works at the same school as I do. And it's just been, she's also very well liked. She wins a lot of teaching awards. And I might say she's one of the best liked teachers in the whole school. The engagement amongst my kids is just much higher than any engagement I've seen with any other teacher. Any other teacher has had, because it is, I think there's this monotony that happens. You have, you know, six teachers. They're all telling you to come to a Google Hangout. You know, you're sitting in front of your computer. It all kind of looks the same. You're kind of being asked to do a bunch of sort of like nebulous, like not super useful, busy work seeming activities. I mean, they're on the lookout for something that is different and to like engage in a different way. So on my first video, I had every kid comment. I didn't ask them to, it just happened. And that was awesome. I mean, I remember like that night looking at the comments and just getting all teary. I felt so grateful to hear from, because I'm worried about them. I want to know how they're doing. Feels like I'm tricking them a little bit into, you know, letting me know that they're okay. But now we're really engaging more via email and Google Classroom, because, you know, this is like a new time. My boss asked me to please email all their parents and let them know I was communicating this way. I mean, that's really important for parents to know, you know, that your teacher's on YouTube and it's okay for the kid to be like watching YouTube or to be communicating like that. But we also know that it's, you know, safer for the kids to engage in sort of a more like closed system. So that's what we're encouraging right now. But at the same time, I just, any way that I can know that they're okay is, I want to know they're okay.
That's awesome. That's awesome. One last question I guess I'd have for you is, so then personally, outside of YouTube teaching, you having to do a lot of Zoom calls?
Yeah, man. Like so many. It's just like, and it feels constant. And I feel like I'm going crazy. I feel like, don't you feel like you're going a little bit crazy? It's just yes. Like so much of it. And there's always one person who like really doesn't understand how to use it and has the echo and, you know, yes. They don't realize it's them and you don't know how to be tactful. I mean, there could be a whole other article about like the, you know, new etiquette of Zoom meetings and how to navigate. I'm sure there's 20 of those articles already. It's all we're talking about. So yeah, anything to get outside of that space, anything, get me out.
Please. Yeah. The first 5 minutes of everybody learning they need to mute their mic. And then the last 5 minutes, of everybody saying goodbye, 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 goodbye. No, you hang up. No, you hang up. Anything to get outside of that.